10:35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." The writer seems to be saying, I know that you have been severely persecuted. I know that since being illuminated, you have even lost some of your goods, or maybe all of your goods. I know that you have gone through a lot, but you still have Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And since you still have Him, and since He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, you can put your confidence in Him. He's not a liar. He tells the truth. Praise the Lord. And so the writer of Hebrews says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I would like to encourage you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. You've endured to this point, the writer seems to be saying. Now, don't quit. Don't even think of quitting. Don't even think of parking here. Keep moving on in the Lord. Praise the Lord. As old brother Giroux, 90-some years old when he died, used to say all the time, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Amen. We have to remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Now this is what was happening to these Hebrews. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. This is what happened to those Hebrews. They say that they had lost their temple rights, and they had to go worship by themselves somewhere, I suppose. And when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. For behold, Jesus said, your reward is great in heaven. Just yesterday I got a letter from one of our former saints here, and I won't tell you who, but I'll read you a quotation from the letter. Brother and Sister Tamberg, I need you now. And I need words of encouragement from you along with your prayers. I have been very discouraged, depressed, hurt, and maybe a little confused at times in the last month or two. And of course, I can't wait to write those words of encouragement back to this precious soul who loves the Lord so very, very much, but is going through a severe trial right now. And that's exactly where these Hebrews were. They were going through a very severe trial. And they needed words of encouragement, and they needed somebody praying for them. They could have become a little discouraged, depressed, hurt, and maybe a little confused at times. Here come the others with their heifers and their lambs, and they're taking them to the temple, and they're going to offer their sacrifices, and these Hebrew Jews are looking on, and maybe, I didn't say that, I just say maybe, I have a great imagination, but maybe they were being reproached, mocked, laughed at. Ha ha, where's your sacrifice? You don't serve Jehovah God anymore. You don't believe Moses anymore. And you have abandoned the law and so on. These people had new life. They had been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they had an understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ as opposed to the blood of animals for taking away our sins once and for all. And so they had to be encouraged to keep up their confidence in the gospel. You and I have to be encouraged, keep up our confidence in the gospel. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Well, maybe they didn't feel so good sometimes, and sometimes we go through those experiences where we could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But God has not forsaken us, praise the Lord. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise the Lord. Those are words of encouragement to me. So, when we do feel in need of prayer and in need of words of encouragement, when we do feel discouraged, depressed, hurt, or maybe confused at times, as it says here in this letter, we have to remember something, that we are not necessarily backslidden when we don't feel the presence of Jesus. I think a lot of people think because they don't feel something, they don't have anything, or because they don't feel the presence of Jesus with them, that surely he must not be with them. He must have abandoned them or forsaken them. But that's not true, because he promised he would not leave us nor forsake us. We can quickly examine our own lives, and we can know that we are like David, as he reminded God of his own righteousness. He said, God, I have not lived with the contemptible. I have not done the things they do. I have hated every ungodly thing. God, you know my righteousness. Hear my prayer, Lord. Hear my call. Praise the Lord. And so I would just like to encourage you to know that when you don't feel the presence of Jesus in a supernatural and beautiful way, that does not mean that you are backslidden. Are you divorced from your wife when you are not holding her on your lap? Are you divorced from your wife when you are not holding her hand? Are you divorced from your wife when you are not embracing her and kissing her? No, you are still married with her, married to her. Even when she is not in your lap, or when she is not in your arms, or when you are not holding her hand, she is still your wife. Praise the Lord. So I would say that our confidence is not based on present conditions. Our confidence is based on the Word of God. We cannot look about at circumstances and say, God doesn't love me, or I don't feel him, I must be backslidden. No, no. You know, if you got up in the morning and loved God and lifted your hands to him and worked, you don't just lift your hands in church, you know, you lift your hands at home. You don't just dance in church, you dance at home. Praise the Lord. You don't just shout in church, you shout in your car, you shout in your home, you shout wherever you can. Praise the Lord. Our confidence is not based on present conditions. Our confidence is based on the Word of God. I love that statement that when you don't feel something, you had better know something. And this Bible is full of things that we had better know. Now we have to remember the scripture that says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I believe in eternal security. And I also believe in no security. I believe that those who are living in Christ Jesus have security. But I believe there is no security for that man outside of Christ. No security for that person who even claims to be a Christian, who is not trusting in Christ, but looking to himself and his own good works and so on. So I personally, I believe that as long as we are in Christ, we are secure. If we are not in Christ, we have no security. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. When he says here, cast not away, is he saying that neither men nor devils can take away what you have? You can only cast it away. To lose it, you've got to cast it away. And you can cast it away by neglect. You can cast it away by indifference. You can cast it away by slothfulness, laziness, and so on. But you can't, nobody can take it away from you. Jesus said in John 10, 28 and 29, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Don't you feel confident this morning? Don't you feel safe and secure in the hands of Jesus? Oh, I do. Praise the Lord. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The hand of Jesus and the hand of the Father are the same hand. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. In verse 28, in verse 29, he says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're not in two hands. We're in his hand. Praise the Lord. We're not in the hands of different people, of them. We're in his hands. Praise the Lord. Didn't you like that? He didn't say it. What? Say it, Brother Wiseman. We're baptized with him, not them. If it was them, he would have said them, but he said him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like that. I like that truth. So no man is able to pluck them. And so the writer here says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Well, of course, knowing that there is more in the Bible than two verses, another verse came to my mind, Revelation 3:11, which says, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Do we have a controversy here? He said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And now Jesus said, and John was the writer, John wrote John 10:28-29, and John wrote Revelation 3:11. And quoting Jesus, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Do we have a contradiction here? I don't think so. I don't think so. Esau lost his crown to Jacob. How did he lose it? How did he lose his crown to another man? I say crown so we can relate to Revelation 3:11. How did Jacob lose it? Didn't he become a little careless? Didn't he become desirous of other things? Didn't he place too low a value on the things of God? And that's how another man took his crown. What about Judas? He lost his crown to Matthias. Did Matthias take it from him? Yes, Matthias took his crown. It might be took his apostleship, but he didn't do it in the way that some people would interpret these scriptures. No man is able to take them out of my hand. Judas was absolutely safe as long as he was in the hand of the Lord Jesus. But when he leaped out of the hand and sought money instead, sought to fatten the purse instead, being the treasurer for Jesus, when that overwhelmed him, he gave up his crown. He cast it away. In fact, he cast down the money, didn't he, eventually? And what about the Jews? They lost their crown to the Gentiles. In a sense, didn't they? They sure did. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles and they will hear it. And so on. And so when we read, no man is able to take them out of my hand, we're safe in the Father's hand. Somebody could say, I thought Jesus said, no man is able to pluck them up. Then how come he said, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown? We can lose the crown by neglect. We can lose it by carnality and worldliness and desiring other things. But as far as staying in Christ, when we are in him, we are absolutely safe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The happy Christian is the Christian who keeps his eyes on the goal, who keeps his eyes on the eternal reward. Theodore Roosevelt once said, I would rather die fighting for a cause that will ultimately win than live fighting for a cause that will ultimately lose. Theodore Roosevelt once said, I would rather die fighting for a cause that will ultimately win than live fighting for a cause that will ultimately lose. What a spirit. Final victory, not temporary victory. Final victory is all that counts. Praise the Lord. Everybody shout victory.
Victory.
Victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, talking about the reward, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus is asking us to rejoice when things aren't going our carnal or natural way. He's asking us to rejoice when men revile us. He's asking us to rejoice when we get saved after we're illuminated and our families disown us. He's asking us to rejoice when the men at work laugh at you and revile you. He's asking us to rejoice and leap for joy when circumstances are against us. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Just make sure it's false. Falsely. For my sake. Rejoice! They don't like me at work. Rejoice! They laugh at me at the office. Rejoice! My wife's mad at me because I've got the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Rejoice! my family didn't invite me to the family reunion this year because I got saved. Rejoice! Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Sounds like fanaticism, doesn't it? Exceeding glad. Not just smile happy, but laugh happy. Hallelujah! Not only smile happy and laugh happy, but Jesus said, leap happy. Leap for joy. Praise the Lord. I can't go to the family reunion. My mom and my dad hate me because I came to Jesus. My cousins won't talk to me anymore because I came to Jesus. My Trinitarian friends don't want fellowship with me anymore because I was baptized in the name of Jesus. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, saints of God, I would encourage you this morning not to be afraid to be different, not to be afraid to express your baptism in Jesus' name and your experience in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, rejoice. I like that. The reward. We've got to keep our eyes on the reward. Revelation 11:18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward. Listen to this. Unto thy servants, the prophets. The time has come that thou shouldest give a reward unto thy servants, the prophets. Now we read over here in Matthew 5 where Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. If we will patiently endure the persecution of family, friends, and strangers, if we will patiently endure all of that persecution, we're going to share in a prophet's reward. Listen to the rest of Revelation 11:18. The time has come that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy the rest of them that destroy the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Will we be able to stand before him on that day and say, when we were persecuted, we rejoiced. When we were laughed at, we rejoiced. When we were cast out for his name's sake, when men reproached us and didn't want our company, that we rejoiced with exceeding joy and we leaped for joy? Will we be able to say that? Oh, I hope so. Praise the Lord. Because that's what Jesus said. He didn't offer that as an option. He didn't say, if you feel good about it, go ahead and leap for joy. It's a commandment, isn't it? He said, I say to you, leap for joy. I say to you, rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's the attitude that we are supposed to have. That's the way we are to respond to persecution. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You have need of patience. You can look up the word patience both in Strong's and in Webster's, or what other dictionary you have, and the meaning will be something like this. Patience, remaining under the load. Remaining under the load. Endurance, ability to wait or endure without complaint. A lot of us have a lot of complaining patience. You know, we're patient because we have no choice in the matter, but we're complaining all the time. But this word patience here means ability to wait or endure without complaint. Praise the Lord. Patience implies the bearing of suffering, provocation, delay, tediousness, and so forth with calmness and self-control. Calmness in trials, self-control, praise the Lord. No vengeance in our hearts. So the writer encourages us to have patience. In Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake. Just think of that. For a testimony against them, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. See, it's good to be full of the word ahead of time, isn't it? For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And just think. Just think of what Jesus said here. He said, but he that shall have patience, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We have to endure, not for a day, but we have to endure unto the end. Read Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 51. Matthew 24, 45 through the end of the chapter. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is Jesus saying there? He's saying, don't lose the patience. Don't be a servant that gets tired of waiting for the return of your blessed master, and start eating and drinking and smiting with the rest of the world. Don't do that. Keep the patience unto the end. In Luke 21, see, we're reading Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. They're all synoptic messages there. Luke 21, 19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In other words, by faithful obedience and continuance in Jesus' words, we can save our souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. Don't lose the patience. Keep the patience. Praise the Lord. So verse 36 says, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for ye have need of patience. Now the Bible's telling us we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. I know it's easy to bring that scripture down and apply it to our daily lives, but let me say that over. Am I saying that right? It's easy to take this scripture and apply it to individual, isolated situations and say, well, I did the will of God and now I'm waiting for the promise. Well, that's true. That's all true. But the primary interpretation here is a little different than that. It means this: after having done the will of God from beginning to end, after having done the will of God to the end, you can look for the promise. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll fulfill my promise. I'll give you the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Praise the Lord. So having done the will of God to the end, he is saying, ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God all through your life, right to your dying day, when you die in faith, or when the rapture takes place, you might receive the promise. What is the promise? We can't belittle the promise into applying it to mere isolated individual situations, but we have to remember that there is one great big promise of heaven, of seeing him face to face, of going up at the second coming of the Lord and being reunited with all of our loved ones that have gone on before. Can you imagine that? I mean, that just that just staggers my imagination. When I think of, I'm actually going to kiss my mother again. Whoa, can you believe that? If you can't, you're an unbeliever. Can you believe that? That I'm gonna hug old brother Raleen, who baptized me in Jesus' name, and in whose church I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost August 27, 1944, at 430 Water Street, 9:20 p.m. Sunday night, after Brother Harrington preached. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to actually see those people again. There's a reward coming. Okay, just quickly here. I can't stop without giving Daniel chapter 7. Are these Are these discouraging words or encouraging words? Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, 22. Okay, listen to this. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. But oh, look at that next word. It's almost like but God. It says until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. It looks like the devil's in control now, and he's doing a pretty rotten job of it all, really. And he's doing a lot of damage, ruining a lot of lives, damning a lot of souls. But listen, he's only going to have his free run of things for a little while, until Jesus comes, until the Ancient of Days comes, and then judgment will be given to the saints of the Most High. Praise the Lord. And the next verse says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now this verse is taken from two Old Testament scriptures, Isaiah 26, 20, 21, come my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Some people apply that scripture to a seven-year tribulation period. I don't read anything about 7 years here. Do you? Look up Matthew Henry and see what he says. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And the other verse it comes from is Habakkuk 2, verses 3 and 4. For the vision, I think really this is the primary one. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk cried out to God because of the oppression that was abounding on every hand, and wondered when divine righteousness would at last be vindicated on the earth. And God answered the prophet and said, be patient. The oppressor will at last reap the judgment for his iniquity, but he that maintains his faith shall live. Praise the Lord. God does not delay without cause. He'll come, and he'll come right on time. If the night seems long, be of good cheer. The day is at hand. Hallelujah. God is still in sovereign control. No matter what happens in our lives, we've got to keep the patience. Praise the Lord. The outlook is great. A little while to suffer, and the promise of his coming is sure. Verse 38, I'm hurrying, trying to finish this chapter. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The Christian walk is a walk of faith. Two kinds of people are mentioned here. Those who persevere and those who give up. Two kinds of people. We either persevere or we give up. And we are urged to keep the faith. We are urged not to give up. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And when we keep the faith, we bring pleasure to God's heart. And he said, if we don't, he has no pleasure in us. So the writer writes then with his last verse in this chapter, but we are not of them. Now, he's not saying it's impossible that we couldn't be of them. He's encouraging them. Don't cast away your confidence. We don't want to be of them who draw back unto perdition. We want to be of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. He's not teaching an unconditional eternal security doctrine here. Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Too many warnings have gone before. But we are determined not to be of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Some have fallen because of persecution. Some have drawn back to worldly pleasure. But let's you and me be strong in the faith. Let's endure to the end. Can we stand? He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you give us through the word. Thank you for the writer who wrote with his pen, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Lord, and we can apply that to isolated situations in our own lives, and we thank you that you have given us that latitude. Oh, Lord, we know, Lord, that we cannot cast away our confidence in your healing power, for instance. For you have said, I will come and heal him. Lord, and we pray again as we have already prayed this morning, and we continue to pray, heal our bodies, Lord. We're in need of healing. Heal Brother Brian Wiseman's body, Lord Jesus. Oh, we pray that you'll soothe that burning throat, Lord, and that food will taste good again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray for my daughter Jane. Oh, Lord God, that you'd heal her body. Lord, I pray for myself today. Heal my body, Lord. Heal all of us, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we would cast not away our confidence in the shed blood of Calvary. Lord, we would not look to humanism or other ways to save ourselves, but we would rather save ourselves from this untoward scoliosis generation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank you for the scripture today, Lord. The confidence and hope in you, your word, your scripture, your very being, for you are God, and who is like unto our God? Praise the Lord. The Lord, even Jehovah, is our Elohim. Hallelujah. We worship you as God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This